Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart, and today I sit down with SNL alumni. Alumni is not until after they leave, right? Stand-up comedian, singer, songwriter, artist, Melissa Villaseñor. Melissa Villaseñor is someone that, you know, this happens quite often with a show where I don't expect that I'm ever going to get the opportunity to sit down with someone that I've been following for years. So today was really a fan interview. I got to sit down and ask questions that I've been wanting to know about this woman that I've been following for years. We're the same age, which is so bizarre to me because she's so much more successful than I am. But I'm a huge fan of Melissa's. I've been listening to her on the Bone Zone. She's now one of the best impressionists on SNL. And it was a great time was had by all. This week's show is, as always, sponsored by Terlato Distill Artisan Spirits, leader in premium artisan products like Boonehaven, Deanston, Lecheg, Tobermory, Baines, Black Bottle, and, of course, Scottish Leader. You can pick up the entire line at your local liquor store, or if you are a retailer, reach out to your United Wine and Spirits rep. And last, Whiskey Neat is supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass Rev Imports and Amroot Distilleries. You guys remember my love for Amroot, and I am committed. I haven't asked permission yet, but I'm going to. I really want to do a special release for Texas with these guys with us. I think we can pull it off. Just a sherry bomb of an Indian whiskey. I'm such a huge fan. So Amroot crafts one of the most award-winning Indian single malts to the exacting standards of Scotch. Amroot Fusion also received the double gold blind and scored a jaw-dropping 96 points by judges at the Proof Awards. Amroot single malt whiskey is widely available across America and can be found almost everywhere in Texas. Go out and get a bottle today. Without further ado, guys, Whiskey Socials, 6 weeks out, 5 weeks out, February 8th. Get your tickets at HoustonWhiskeySocial.com. Largest whiskey festival in the state. We are unbelievably packed to the brim. And as I said in the last episode, VIP tickets are almost sold out. And yeah, WhiskeyMerch.com for our shirts and stuff of that nature. Without further ado, Melissa Villaseñor. Cheers. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice to meet you.
I've been kind of
nerding out behind the scenes
here.
I want to jump right into it. So your claim to fame is impressions, but you are so much more involved in that. You've been doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You have an amazing singing voice. And of course, in 2016, you joined the cast of SNL.
I sure did.
So it's been quite the decade for you, right?
Yeah, you're right. My parents were talking about that recently, of like the decade now that we're coming to 2020.
Well, I mean,
they were like, you got SNL in this decade. Like, that was really amazing.
Well, you're my age. You're 32, mm-hmm. right? So I think it was 21 you tried out? And
yes.
You didn't quite hit?
No, and I shouldn't have.
Well,
I was so bad.
But you've grown so much since
then. I've grown so much, yes.
So much since then. And you hit it in 2016. And I meant to ask you, how is your engagement with Darius Rucker going?
Oh, gosh. You know me from Bone Zone.
That's exactly where I know you from.
Oh, my gosh.
I was such a fan of Bone Zone. And I've followed that show religiously. And every episode you were on was incredible. And then I found out about the America's Got Talent thing,
uh-huh.
which happened years before that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you were hitting some of the funniest episodes of all time on that show.
I'm so happy to hear it, because that was, and I've told people this before, Bone Zone, the podcast I would always appear on, Brendan Walsh and Randy Lickie, I feel like they shaped my voice of who I am today.
Really?
So if they don't hear me, yes, because there was a dynamic they had with me when we would chat. I don't know if it was picking on me, but I liked it. But it really helped shape my comedy in some way or something.
But
I really think that show was where I had, I mean, I just had
so much fun.
It was fun because there wasn't any pressure of, it was just pure silliness and dumb stuff. And it wasn't like I was on a, have to be an impressionist or anything. They were just there for me to just truly be at a silly time.
Do you still talk to them?
I'll hit them up every now and then, but I really miss them.
When the show went away, I was heartbroken.
I
hear it's coming back. I'm not sure. I thought I heard it was coming back. I hope it's coming back. But those episodes were, what was so great about them is it felt like a complete relaxed. And you're right. The dynamic was you were this quiet, innocent, sweet, and they were these dirty, perverted, rotten.
Yeah,
like,
they're gross.
When they called a children's hospital, called in a bomb threat, and didn't tell you that it was a joke. You were so upset.
I was.
And you were telling them you were upset, but you were doing it the nicest way possible. My wife and I, we died. I'm telling you, my wife and I have listened to y'all's episodes when they would call people and just say, suck it. Like, they would just prank phone call people in the dumbest way possible.
Yeah, I think they called a phone sex line once, too.
With you, yeah, yeah. And the running bit where they would tell people that they're twins born at 11:58 p.m. and 12:01 a.m. on different days. This is why I met Melissa. And yeah. Those were the funniest episodes where I'm mowing the yard or doing something and I died laughing. And then.
That's awesome.
I never do this, but I DM'd you in an appropriate way on Instagram the moment you got SNL. I was so excited for you. And if you actually go back and I wrote it down. Give me a second here.
Yeah. So, I'm going to take off the swishy.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I feel like it's swishy.
I went back, and one of my favorite episodes is 215. This is the episode in June 21st, 2016. In that episode, you mentioned you were trying out for something, and you'll find out if you get it. Do you remember when you tried out for SNL? Because when I was listening to this, I thought, is this the moment where you tried out?
This was before I even got the show?
Okay, so I think it was announced, and you obviously your first season was the fall of 2016, and it aired June 21st. I don't know when Randy and Brendan recorded it, but the June 21st episode 215, you talk about just going for an audition for something and being really nervous about it, and I wondered if this, because at the beginning of the year you fired your management team.
Oh my gosh!
And then you went with the new management team. I mean, 2016 was your year, right?
Yeah, it was a beautiful year. I feel like, though, I didn't audition till August that summer.
Okay.
That might have been an acting audition
okay.
or something.
Okay, okay, okay. Because you were in the latest Toy Story as well, the voice of Forky's girlfriend.
Yeah, Karen Beverly is
yes,
her name.
Yes, so.
I know, that was so cool. But yeah, that was a cool, and it had a lot, I don't know, it was just a really beautiful
year.
Time. Yeah. And I have, like, there was a friend, I don't know, I got into law of attraction and like started asking out loud specifically what I wanted, and I'd never done that before. And I started doing that more and more, and everything came true.
Just being more direct about what
being
you wanted.
Real specific. Like specific about, oh, I wanna, you know, whatever. It's like I wanna act with this actor in a scene. You know, it could really happen if you just start saying it a lot. And visualizing
sure.
it. Sure. But that's what I was practicing. Before I even got SNL, I was just saying I was already on the show, and I pretended every day like I'd hear my name in the credits. And I was just doing that all the time.
And you did.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that been going?
It's great. I feel I'm learning. I mean, it's a tough show, but I
well, it's got to play with your emotions a little bit.
That's what it is. That's the hard part, and you're overthinking and everything. But I think it's made me tougher and smarter, and I'm just learning a lot. The hard part is when I go on breaks like this week, you know, this month off, and I go back to normal life of stuff. I'm like, oh, I haven't caught up on this. Am I dating at all? No. It's like, because the show is just, intense.
Sure.
It's only the show, and your brain is
your
like,
whole life.
Yeah. And then when you go on break, I'm like, oh, wait, what were my goals again? You know, but
there's other
good
sides
problems.
Of you.
No problem. Yeah. Everything's fine. But
well,
yeah.
I mentioned this before the show. I'm an avid Your Mom's House listener. I'm a Tom and Christina, huge fans.
They're the best.
And when I start with Bone Zone and then I all of a sudden start hearing you bleed over to other podcasts that I'm huge fans of. I hear you on Your Mom's House.
The recent one or the one where I was Gloria Stefan?
Everyone you've been on.
Okay.
I've been following the show since the very beginning, episode 45, which is when they stopped using Red Band and they started doing their own thing.
Right.
And then when you did Gloria Stefan, and then the recent interview you did in person, and you talk about the change of SNL and how it messes with your head a little bit. And,
yeah.
It's so
that's
just
so cool.
That's what's so like. Sometimes I feel like you, as anybody who's still human and in this business, as if I'm in this business, but
you are.
There's this, as long as you're human, you're going to have, I wouldn't say insecurities, but there's things that are going to always mess with your head. And following you and seeing these bits of success, I wrote something at the end of this that I wanted to say. There's two people I wanted to say this to, you and Bert Kreischer, but I'll save it to the end. But I'm very proud for you. I think that what you've done is like you've worked so hard since, I mean, what was it, your first talent show at 15?
Mm-hmm.
And standing ovation, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have that.
Ramona Convent, Alhambra, California.
To have that and then transition to the majority of your life. We're the same age.
That's so,
so
cool.
So it's, anyways, I'm excited for you.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
All right. So let's, you mentioned dating. You once said you avoided Tinder dates after a Tinder date with a guy in an open relationship that left you so grossed out you ran. With the crazy world and lifestyle change of moving to New York and being on SNL, have you changed your perspective on dating apps?
Well, I haven't been on one in a while. I was on Raya, and I feel like I stopped it the past summer. I just...
don't have time for it.
Well, I don't know. It frustrated me.
Well,
I feel either way, guys are going to be nervous by me or intimidated, so I've been doing all the asking, and they go out because there's
specific.
An honor. Because it's also I'm not in a little pocket of my life where I'm not I'm just not sweating it.
Sure.
I don't want to.
Well, you've
there's
talked
no rush for me.
And as early as 2015, you did an interview with this woman. I didn't recognize her, but she has a great podcast where you guys went into deep perspective. Really great interview of you, and. Throughout little interviews, you've talked about how I can't tell if you don't want to date or if you, because you say that you're so busy and you are, and I'm curious, is it a life balance thing or is it just because sometimes your art too kind of hints at
yes. Oh, it's all love and relationships, but I date plenty. In the past, I have too. It's I don't know.
It's life management.
Yeah,
it's just hard.
It's just tough, but I'm my heart's open, but someone has to be pretty damn cool.
Flexible, sure.
Understanding my world.
Sure.
And I just haven't met that part yet, so.
It's got to be difficult, especially with the the hound that Pete Holmes is, or not Pete Holmes. What's his name? Pete Davidson. He's got a reputation, and I would imagine being on SNL, like it's there's got to be just a slew of I wouldn't say party animals, but you know, you've got to be getting hit on quite a bit working in New York.
Not as much as you think. But I've been having fun. I go out with dudes, but I don't they're not
a priority.
Relationship material.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go. Also, now that we've got.
Man, I'm nervous. You've like listened to a lot of like oldie stuff where I feel. I mean, I've shared a lot of stuff throughout the years.
You have.
And I feel so. Man, you know, parts of me are like, God, I want to work on that side of me.
To not share as much?
No, I don't mind sharing. I just wish I just want to keep being a better. We all do. I just want to keep being a better people.
Sure. Well, I think the reason why people, I think podcasts have opened this up. The reason why people become so avid fans is because they do feel like they know you.
Yeah,
I've been compared to Randy Lidke visually for years with the red beard and stuff, but Bert Kreischer and Tom and you feel like you know them so well that, you know, because they've been so honest in interviews and stuff like that, and it's been something that as a fan I imagine it's great, but as the person, it's got to be difficult. One of the questions I wrote in here was Kristen Stewart has been quoted as saying, people have to try to understand that it's very weird for me to talk to people I don't know about something I care about so much. Being someone who spends so much time putting it on and entertaining for the audience often in live shows, do you find it difficult or hard to connect in some of these interviews? Is that cadence weird? Should I reread it?
Wait, but you quoted Kristen Stewart right now?
Yeah, Kristen Stewart basically just said that it's hard to have intimate conversations with when you're being interviewed, when you don't know the person, but they know what's important to you because they've heard her speak on these things.
Oh, got it.
I know so much about you. We've never met before.
No, I feel if there's an energy, a vibe where I feel safe, and usually with comedy folks and like this, I feel fine. I feel good.
Yeah.
If someone was, you know, if it was a big celeb, that might be different.
Sure. Do you get starstruck? Like, I know you got so excited about Will Ferrell coming
by.
Oh, you broke your desk.
Oh my God, yeah. No, I was just singing like J-Lo. Like, she was really tough to talk to. I was like, this is so strange. That I couldn't be open.
Couldn't
emotionally.
Be relaxed.
Oh
yeah,
no. But Will Ferrell's a sweetheart. No, that my desk just shattered in my office at SNL, and I was just sitting in front of it. I didn't do anything. I didn't get mad. It just, maybe I felt something within me, you know?
The energy in the room. Well, you've said before, people have asked you, and Will Ferrell's always been a special one for you. And when he came on and I saw your post, I was like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense. I could see you like set a glass down or something and just. So let's see here.
Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd.
Oh, Paul Rudd.
And Jason Momoa.
Paul
Those
Rudd
are my favorites.
Is I think on my I we don't ascribe to the whole the get out of jail free the hall pass thing for celebrities, but Paul Rudd and my wife is in love with Paul Rudd. I'm in love with Paul Rudd. Who doesn't love Paul Rudd?
He's the best.
Yeah, you did a hiking podcast with Kevin Nealon, and you asked, or he you specifically mentioned that you wanted people to see there is a darker side to you. There's this artistic. Well, first of all, if you know anything about Melissa, the artistic side is very apparent. You just came out with another album this year, right?
Yeah, my
Dreamer,
music.
Your music. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to show you a couple images.
Okay.
You're cheating.
Oh, I'm cheating.
No, you can look.
Is it going to be here?
No, it's here.
Oh, okay.
So, and just explain, and what he'll do is he'll add it into the
okay,
the video
great,
portion
great.
Of the podcast. So, please see You Are So Enough.
See, this makes me laugh now. I know in the moment maybe I was trying to be really emo, but... No, but it's a truth thing. But also, I thought it was a clever thing to be at. I was at the eye doctor, and I was like, what if all those letters just meant were nice? Or
inspirational message.
Inspirational, that's all. I don't think I was feeling any. Maybe it was.
Well, and this is where I was tying in your message here for me and you at any level. We all need to know that sometimes it's hard to see. And that you are enough, right?
Yeah.
So it's a very inspirational message. And this reminded me of like you on the Your Mom's House podcast when you were talking about how sometimes you don't know if a skit makes it through or if you're not prominently featured one week, you kind of messes with your head a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought when I see stuff like this, I wonder if it's career related or love life related. It's kind of hard to read into the...
I don't know. It could be both. I mean, it's probably a mix. It's so funny. I was going to take that one down because I thought it was corny.
Have you taken a bunch down?
I'll sometimes go back and be like, that's dumb, Melissa. Take it down now. Like, But I'm sure it means something to you, so I'll leave it. But sometimes I get mad at myself. I'm like, I think that's dumb. But
No, you should leave it up.
Yeah, I'll leave it up.
All right, that one there.
The astronaut heart.
So this one's early on because it's pretty far down on the Melissa V Art on Instagram, by the way.
I think that was like 2015 or something. But the astronaut with the heart, I feel like that one's most people's favorites.
Sure. What was going through your head? What's it mean?
Favorite.
Oh, that's such a dumb thing to ask an artist. What's it mean?
No, no, it's not. I think it's feeling alone and reaching for my heart, remembering to love. And I think that was really
You actually got that on a tattoo, didn't you?
I sure did.
On your arm? Spoiler alert.
It's right here. Isn't that beautiful?
It's great.
The line work was so good. Hannah King in Brooklyn, in New York. Yeah, she did a great job. I just love it. I don't know. I guess I also... Oh, while I'm here, tomorrow I might want to go to the Space Center.
I heard, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that would be good for me and also inspiring and just amazing. So I've never been, and I think I need to while I'm here.
The head of the Human Research Program at NASA has been on the show, and we made a few phone calls to try to see if they can get some better sneak peeks at the NASA Center other than just the typical tour. It usually takes a day, but mm-hmm. we're trying to see what we can pull off.
That'd be so cool.
All right, so the next one here, this one was interesting.
This one was right after a breakup. So I felt like... So sometimes a lot of these images, they'll flash in my head and I write it down because it's not like I think of it. It just comes to me. And this one, I remember this guy I really liked. He was always texting me that, and I would go back on that text and read it and want that to come back now.
Oh,
so
sure.
So that's why I drew myself.
So do you still have that text saved?
No, that phone's gone. I think that... Oh, wait, actually, my... No, yeah, that's an old phone.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that one's pretty emotional.
These are great. I love... Thanks. And this one, these two specifically, I loved.
Thanks.
So this is what I talk about, that other side of you.
Yeah.
You have to put it on. And you've often said that you... and you can show these two at the same time, the last two. That you don't want to be known just as impressions, even though that is, like, really what kind of grab people's... I mean, your Owen Wilson is ridiculous, right?
No, and I love doing impressions. I think they're great. It's... No, I will always be grateful, and I'm always going to probably always learn them because
sure.
it just comes easy to me. But this one is interesting. The person on stage, I felt like it could have been someone else, and maybe I felt ignored in the back, or it could have been me being smiling on stage and me falling apart inside. You know, they're oh man, that's so funny. Yesterday I was upset and I felt like I was upset with myself. This is true. And I was crying in the hotel room because I felt like, oh, I'm being phony on stage. I smile too much. I'm too happy. And I was, I don't know, it was bugging me, but I was like, that's who I am. And I think it just has to come back. It's hard. And I feel like it's corny and phony, but I can't do that to myself.
You think you beat yourself up by being too... well, I mean, you've got kind of that known voice.
Yeah.
You feel like you're too silly, like people aren't taking you serious enough or something?
No, I think it's more that there's so much more to figure out on stage. And I think because... And this is all, again... As my friend Santina says, champagne problems. Being on SNL, if I don't get on stage for 3 weeks or for a while, my stand-up gets all rusty, and then I just do the same old bits, and that's where I get sick of them. Like, these are old bits from 7 years ago or old impression bits. That's where I get aggravated because I'm like, I want new. I want
sure
life experience and more silliness, more like honest opinions about stuff. Anyway, this is a bunch of different things
yeah.
swarming in my mind right now. But
sure.
I am excited to get back on stage and even to just try one new thing each show. That feels so good for me.
Well, there's
just to keep pushing.
There's this thing where you have to work on your material, which means repeating your material. So it's like when you're a kid. My daughter, as soon as I have a 4-year-old, she's amazing. I have four kids, but the 4-year-old is amazing. She learns fart jokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then. As soon as we laugh at it, then she'll just say fart at everything. And it kind of, there's this thing that happens where as a comedian, you go up and you work on your material. Let's say you have an hour at 10 cities across the U.S. And it's genuine for the audience because it's their first time, so their laughter is real. And for you, you might get tired of telling the same jokes, and like you said, 7 years of you know, 7 years ago. I've watched your stand up. I'm excited to see what happens at the Houston Improv tonight.
Yeah,
that's right.
You're
Houston
coming.
Improv
Woo-hoo!
Friday, today and tomorrow. You're off for a month. So where are you going next?
Well, New Year's Eve, I'm doing San Antonio's Laugh Out Loud, two shows.
I think they're related to the Improv.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
San Antonio. Yeah. And then I'm going to be in L.A. the rest of the time, and I'm just going to – I'll do probably spots there at the store and Factory and Improv. But and mainly, though, I just want to kind of recharge.
Sure.
Figure out the goals for 2020.
Do you ever work out ideas on stage that you think might be a good pitch for a skit?
No, I mean, they could become a sketch, but I think my main priority is try new things for stand-up, and later maybe it could become a premise for a sketch.
Sure. Focus on what's in front of you.
Well, yeah, and I just feel stand-up is... I mean, all my bits, most of them are act-out bits, you know, a setup, punch, you know, act-out as impression or character, or my mom or grandma, whatever. And I feel like those would just be characters that would be in a scenario, like a sketch or something.
But sure.
Yeah.
So you're known for your impressions, but have been quoted as wanting to be remembered for more. What is something you are not known for, but you crave to be seen by the world?
I was quoted for that, for remembered for more.
Well, yeah. I'm quoting you because you said that. You said that in an interview. Just that you. That
I feel
you,
like I was such a brat. I feel like
no.
There's so many bratty sides of me.
No. I hope this interview isn't beating you up inside a little bit.
No. I'm good. I just have to be kinder to myself.
You should.
Yeah.
You are incredibly. Like I said, I was so excited to have you in here.
Yeah.
And it's something. You're loved. Not. Don't pick yourself.
No,
you know,
I know.
I think my eye's twitching here.
Uh oh.
So
no,
I don't know. Cut it out, Jack. So is there? I mean, I know you're a dreamer. I know you love to sing. And by the way, there is a video on your YouTube channel from 10 years ago of you singing Michael Jackson to a webcam.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of cathartically.
The Man in the
Mirror. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Thanks.
And you sound like him. I don't know if you've ever done a Michael Jackson impression.
Oh, no, that's what I was doing. I was meant to.
Oh, I thought you were just singing because it was awesome.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, you were dressed like him, so I just thought it was Melissa singing her heart out. Because MJ has been, you know.
I know.
He's been so much to so many.
I know. And I feel like. You know, the past documentary really put a damper on it.
I have my thoughts on it.
I know. No, I do too. But that's truly one of my favorite impressions to do.
Michael Jackson. See, I've seen.
Well, also like this, when he was a kid too, I like singing Jackson 5.
Young Jackson, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there something else you'd like to be known for? You got singing, art.
Acting inside of me. Like I want to. I haven't figured it out yet, but I know it's up to me. I want to make a movie, but I definitely want a feel-good comedy movie. In the world of John Hughes type, you know, something cheery and fun.
Like almost Christmassy. Like John Hughes had maybe. Very much childhood memories.
Yeah,
Home Alone style, good feel good type.
Yeah, and I might want like a buddy road comedy movie. There's not many these days, but
sure.
I love Tommy Boy. I love Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I just think that's where I belong with someone else, like Buscemi or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you want him to play your dad. I know that much.
I want him to play my dad. I already told him this. Yeah.
I'm a huge Buscemi fan. Boardwalk Empire... I know that's
so
not
good.
Everyone's most early memory of him, but...
Everything he's in, he kills.
Everything he's in, he kills. And it's insane. They did this great interview for the anniversary for The Big Lebowski with him, John Goodman.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. It was a reunion, right?
Yeah, yeah. But they sat at a diner, and they just filmed a conversation, and just hearing him talk. Buscemi and John Goodman was my dad growing up. I mean, who didn't watch Roseanne, you know?
Yeah.
John Goodman and Buscemi are untouchable. They're saints. And of course, who's the guy? Jeff Bridges. You knew I was forgetting somebody.
I know.
Jeff Bridges is incredible. You have been known to journal, even going so far to read your journal entries on Bone Zone.
Yeah, no. They would put Hobbit music or Lord of the Rings soundtrack while I read my journal.
So, you want to talk about carefree comedy? That's Brendan and Randy. It was so silly. It was so full of whimsy that there's no way you couldn't just... I remember them calling a bra store for Randy, asking for different size cups because his tits were different sizes. I could not deal with it, man. They were the best.
Remember they called LA Fitness because they wanted to know if the proof that I worked out. That's what I just remembered. I was like, no, I work out at LA Fitness all the time. And they go, we don't believe you. We're going to call and see.
Do you know our friend Melissa Villasenor? They would always drop your name. Dude, when they called in the bomb threat, they were like, they were trying to put your name on it.
Something I've always said, I don't like prank calls. I don't like fooling anyone because it breaks my heart. My dad's like that too. He feels like, oh no, they're believing me.
So
some people love to prank.
Awkward humor, the stress of those pranks.
I just feel bad.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Well, you said even back then, you said, I can't do that. I don't even put my voice on the phone. I'm going to cave immediately.
Yeah, that's what
happened. Because you felt
bad. Yeah. I always start giggling. I'm like, no, it's a joke. Please don't believe these guys.
So you have been known to journal, reading on the page or reading on the podcast. Your life's been a whirlwind in the last few... let's try that again. Your life has been a whirlwind in the last few years. It's never easy to finally make it big. No one can really put their feet in your shoes besides those who've been there. The transition has to be hard. Do you still journal? Do you find time to journal?
I try every day if I can. Yeah. Sometimes some work days I can't, but my days off, I definitely do.
I've never been a big journal guy. Do you, when you run out of pages, do you save the journals?
I save them. There have been a few out there that I've tossed. But no, most of them are saved. And I know there's some dirty stuff in there. Some real hot things.
Well, you mentioned on the Bone Zone when they were like, what kind of porn do you look at? And you're like, two people facing each other and loving each other gently. like the most normal, clean, innocent... My sister-in-law,
like passionate ones,
and they were saying these disgusting things, and you're like, no, not that. My sister-in-law just found their 10-year-old boy just started. She pulled up YouTube the other day, and on YouTube, it said big. You can't spell the word beautiful, but it said big, beautiful women shaking their butts. Like, it was the most innocent, clean 10-year-old entry into dirtiness, you know. So it was like this. It broke her heart as a mom, but the family loved it. The family,
that's so great.
The family were like, "This is the most cutest, innocent, and he's the nicest kid." You know, like you don't get anything.
Aww.
You don't get any of those vibes from him whatsoever. Things have. I mean, 2016 had to be the most
hot year. It was beautiful because there was. I think it was in February. I booked the pilot of Barry, Bill Hader's show.
So great, phenomenal show. Part.
It's so good. And then I did First Impression sometime in that spring, Dana Carvey's show on USA. And then I got SNL. But it was kind of like this cool time of like, I'm with these SNL folks. Legends that I've looked up to and learned their impressions. And it was just something's going on. And then there was a cool thing of, I felt something was coming. And I was starting to, I don't know, I was like, something's on their way. But I felt very content with everything. That was kind of the first time where I was like, I'm trusting my path, I'm enjoying, and I didn't have any pressure. I wasn't like, I have to do this. I was just like, no, something feels, it just feels good.
Felt right.
Yeah.
It had all been building, you know? Every step of the way, it's just gotten more and more crazy. You just keep adding little badges of honor, right?
Yeah, and I felt like when I got the show, and I like sharing this and even just rehearing it in my head, every little show I did, things, shows that maybe I at the time thought, oh, this doesn't matter. Why am I here? Why am I doing this show for five people? Why am I doing this show in the middle of nowhere? But I remember feeling like, oh, all these, every little part mattered to get to where I'm at. Like, it's all necessary. It's all the work part of it, you know?
There's been other comedians that have talked about the idea of doing those small shows, even if it's for nobody, just to work out material. Just to shape and practice it on stage so that when you are in those big situations that you're just hitting it out of the park, you know?
Yeah.
So your sister's your best friend, super family oriented.
She is.
Close to mom and dad, but with your busy life, if you have... do you have aspirations for little ones?
No.
I mean, that's probably a super personal question. I didn't even think about it. But.
No. I that's fine. I've been talking about it. Actually, on Christmas, I was yelling at him. No, just joking around with my dad. I was like, I don't want him. I don't want him. And he's like, stop that. You're going to want him someday. I'm like, I don't want him. I was also mad because my parents' coffee is straight water. And I was like, don't talk to me until I've had coffee. Like those shirts say. I was like, I need strong coffee. I don't want to talk to you about this right now. But I know my siblings are going to have kids because, and they're, you know, they're married and stuff. So, and they definitely want kids.
Well, you've got...
I'm fine with being the wacky aunt. I want that.
Sure.
But I have a dog, and I realize that's a lot of work. And I imagine a life. I don't know.
They get easier.
Yeah, you know, and I can't say no because I don't know.
Sure.
Everything has changed. So
I've gotten to the point that I've said this 1,000 times on the show. If my wife would let me and we had the money, we would. I want to be a dad forever. We took my son. So we have a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old. The 14-year-old's about to be 15, and the two youngest are so they're 10 years apart. So the 3 and 4-year-old.
Yeah.
So we're dads of dads. We're mom and dad of toddlers all over again, and they're so silly and so ridiculous. My son broke my tooth the other day. That's right before an interview. I had to go get it done.
So funny.
It was horrible.
Sorry.
And it was right in the front. And
but now you're like Lloyd in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
That's actually Jim Carrey's tooth. He just took that part off.
Sure. Well, in Hangover, what's his name, pulled out his implant. What's his name?
That's awesome.
The guy that from The Office.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Ed Helms.
Yeah,
Ed Helms. He had an implant. He pulled it out for the movie.
That's so cool.
We took the kids to see Star Wars last night. My wife caught our son and daughter both peeing in the backyard yesterday randomly, and the video of it is so hilarious because my son's wearing a dress, and it, like, I don't know, I could keep going.
That's awesome. Good for you. Are the teens, you said they're 14, 15, or?
13, 14, but Juliet will be 14 in January, and Joey will
be. Are they getting cool? Are they like becoming their?
We're more like friends. You know,
yeah.
You get to a point with your parents
they're
not telling you what to do, except, you know, telling you to get married and have kids and making watered down coffee. But you get to a point where you're friends with them, and our daughters are hilarious. I mean, my daughter makes fun of the fact that I don't have eyebrows, and I make fun of the fact that she's just now learning how to draw hers on. You know?
Yeah, that's great.
So the dynamic is
fun.
That's
really cool.
Know?
Yeah, because I remember being 13, 14, I'm like, oh, I'm starting to like being funny and silly. But all the years before, I was so quiet and shy. I was like, oh, no, I never want to be in the center of attention. Never.
And how'd that work out for you?
it's good. But I'm put on, yeah, no, I like it. I do.
I had a question about you moving to New York. There was an interesting thing you said in an interview that I thought was great. Or interesting. It's weird how you can have goals in life that kind of contradict your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So you lived for 3 years in Los Feliz and found it to not only be draining emotionally, but you hated it. You're not happy in Hollywood and moved because you enjoyed a more calmer, nature-inspired living. And then... in 2016, you moved to New York.
Yeah.
How's that been?
So I moved out of the Los Feliz place because mainly there are a lot of roaches in sure. my kitchen. Like, they're popping out the lights.
You know what's bigger than a roach? A rat. You know where rats are?
New York. But I moved to Pasadena, and I felt like I retired a little bit.
Sure.
And I just loved being near families. And I still live that way, where I'm like, I don't want to hear about work at all. You want to just be separated and just be like, oh, this is nice. But New York, yeah. When I got... Actually, before New York, I moved out of Pasadena. I was living for just a few months in Glendale, Burbank area, across the street from the equestrian area. And so it was so beautiful and relaxing, and I'd wake up to hearing horses go, and I just loved their you know, the trotting.
Crop, yeah.
And there was a lot of dust. It was a wooden, kind of rickety apartment, but I loved it.
Sure.
My mom hated it. She's like, this is junk. And I was like, I love it.
So much more peaceful. We take the family to the Texas Hill Country once a year. It's not far for vacationing, and it's not super expensive, but it's in the middle of nowhere.
Is that a hotel or something?
No, the Texas Hill Country, meaning the middle of the nature's part of Texas. Yeah, so we're in a very flat part of Texas that's full of Houston, right? Mm-hmm. But if you go middle, central, like just a little west of Austin or a little northwest of San Antonio, it's nothing but nature, and there's a bunch of beautiful caverns. There's this awesome pool called, I got to find it, but... there's this pool in Austin that's just the most incredible piece of nature. So it's total nature. It's a salt dome that collapsed. Let me back up here.
That's
but it's
gorgeous.
Just it's just gorgeous, right?
It looks like Land Before Time.
Yeah. It looks like you're in another world. So the Hill Country is just a total part of America that's just all beauty and nature, and it's pretty neat.
That's so
so
pretty.
We also, but I can't, I need a, I'll go out there for a weekend or 2 weeks, but I'm not, I can't live out there. I need to be near 20 minutes, within 20
City
minutes of a
stuff.
Walmart. Yeah.
Yeah, me too, of course.
I mean, I don't go to Walmart, but.
Yeah, no, there was one of the SNL breaks this fall, I think it was November or something, but I went upstate to Catskills with my dog. Beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple days. And I was like, okay, I got to get the hell out of here.
Sure.
It was just mountain people. I was like, this is too creepy.
Yeah, it's...
And it works for them, but I know I need to get to the comedy clubs and...
Yeah, you need civilization.
Yeah.
You've often talked about your love for No Doubt. Music that inspired you growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You were... What year did you graduate? 05?
05.
05?
But earlier than that, I was all into the pop princesses.
Sure.
And sing.
You, Christina Aguilera's,
Christina,
and Britney's.
Hoku, Samantha Mumba, Jessica Simpson, Mandy Moore, Britney. I loved them. But, and then there was some 41. Okay.
Of course.
I love Busy D.
Sure. I wrote that
no
down.
Doubt.
Some 41, no
yeah.
doubt.
Yeah, and Distillers and Tsunami Bomb. Those are my high school, and The Living End.
Sure.
Those are my bands in high school.
You weren't a Blink-182, Linkin Park?
No, Linkin Park, yes.
I mean,
I liked both of them. No, Linkin Park for sure.
What about Brand New?
I didn't get
you were
into
not
brand
in the.
I probably heard of, I, yeah, no.
I we did the whole Blink-182, you know, the rock thing was more. I mean, of course, everyone
and Incubus.
Was yes, Incubus. Yeah, I mean, what was a POD? I mean, you remember?
I feel so alive for the very
Chevelle?
First time.
You don't remember? I mean, those are like some of the best eras of art. I mean, that was the music that's classic rock now. That was 20 years ago, right? Or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So they, God, man.
That's why my song Dreaming You Up off my album Dreamer is dedicated to, it's like a pop punk song.
Did you have fun making that video?
Mm-hmm.
That music video?
Raul Gonzo directed that, and he's up in Northern California, Sacramento. Yeah. I just want something colorful and
can sweet. You explain the hair thing?
That was his idea. His artistic idea. Like, he wanted to just make... He just makes things funky.
A representation of what you were dreaming about? Is that what that was?
Oh, the iPad and the hair?
Yeah.
But there's also that cube.
Sure.
You know. That was fun. That was just a fun day.
I Am I? Oh, God.
It's on my YouTube, if you guys want to watch
it. Are you still uploading stuff to YouTube besides the Dreamer video?
I haven't done that in a minute. In the summer, I was uploading random things. Like a hello, I'm back. And then I think a stand-up set I uploaded. But
you uploaded a live track. What was it? You just played live somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I think that was in Washington.
Melissa, look, there you are.
Ew. Sorry. Shouldn't do that. No. I don't want to see that. No. You know what? It also bugs me. It's just cool. I mean, this is what stand-up anything is. We grow. You know, if I look... the early years, I was moving around so much, and my voice is a lot higher than now. It's definitely in a deeper weird tone.
There it is. There's the voice.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, hey, everyone. Hey. It was like so forced, but maybe... That's the transition of now, and I know I'm a lot calmer and even a little gloomier, but still silly. I just want to be Buscemi. That's really it.
You did that in one of your videos. You said, "Hi, everybody, it's me, Melissa," and you were like, "Why do I sound like that?" Like, you immediately beat yourself up over it.
I mean, it naturally will pop up, and I don't know, but it's fine.
So what do you have going on besides you go back to SNL? What are the plans next year? Do you have anything coming up?
It's time to make my comedy album.
Sure.
And stand-up special. And I'm going to do it if Netflix or HBO, whatever. I would love that for it to be on Netflix. I'll say it out loud now. I want my stand-up special on Netflix, okay? I want it to be called Sunshine. And
it's a great name.
Yeah, because all of my bits are sunny. I think. But regardless, I'm just going to make it happen.
Sure.
It's time. Because I'd like to let go of all these bits from the past 10 years.
Use them. Know. Put them to actual paper. Right?
Yeah. And then I could start the next chapter.
Have you ever thought about releasing anything on Instagram? I know your Instagram is usually, it's really kind of you, but like Andrew Schultz will put bits up.
I know they all do that, all the comics, and then they have the caption. I want to do that. I could do it.
Like, if you've got something you want to let go that's not going to make it in the special?
Right. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. But I feel like I could tape that special and then chop it up in little bits and then upload it. That would be definitely a good thing to do.
So stand-up special, and are you actively trying out for movies?
No.
No?
I say straight offers only. I know that's picky, but hey, you know I'm a good actress. But also, I think it's time. I just feel it. I need to make my movie.
Well, I think you think of Buddy Cop. I think of Melissa McCarthy silliness. You know, like I think you could. You're. I think you're comedically, obviously, more funny than Sandra Bullock, but you've got a similar look of America's Sweetheart.
Oh, thanks.
So I think you could. Wow. Listen, I'm married. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I love Sandra Bullock.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think you could do some stand-up, some silly movies. Like, use Zach Galifianakis is a big one. Zach Galifianakis is ridiculously silly. I know. I think you've mentioned you love him too. Yeah.
He's always one too. I'm like, oh yeah, no, he's one of my favorite comics.
Have you done Between Two Ferns yet?
No.
No.
Does he still do it? I saw the movie, but I didn't know if he still does it.
I love the movie. A lot of your art, God, just like looking through it, you it's hard not to imagine what was going through your head in your art.
Oh, so you feel stuff when you... I wonder from the perspective of...
Other people?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it feeling for them?
Very much how you put yourself out. There's you project something. How do I say that? What's the right way to say that?
Cool.
So when I look at if you go to Melissa V Art,
feeling pop up for you.
Yeah. I mean, you can read into, you're saying something. It's not just, you know, sometimes you see like an abstract artist or Campbell soup cans and you're like, oh, it's commentary on society. No, like when you look at your doodles, there's a very distinct evoking of emotion that comes through.
So good.
Like, I loved your Google mosaic that you did. There's that seemed like a happy moment. You know what I mean? Like, there's going through your art, you could tell something's going through your head at the time. So it's
that's
interesting.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah. Usually I'll listen to music and that sparks the idea.
Do you, okay, then I'll ask that. Do you find yourself seeing and identifying with a sadness in an artist? Do you feel the feeling empathy for the pain that's more noticeable to you? Does it speak to you more that your favorite artist? Because you doodle, you're into art. Who are your favorite artists?
I love Yoshitomo Nara. He does like little kid, like he does like little cartoon kid characters that are kind of sad, but they're so cool.
It's like the Precious Moments dolls, but
kind of,
but
yeah,
sad.
Yeah. And Brandy Milne, she's from Orange County. Hers could be pretty dark, but they're also like fantasy. Virginia Mori, she's like, hers is very similar to mine. It's all pen.
What was the name of that children's book that did art? I think it was the side something sidewalk.
Oh, Shel Silverstein.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of my biggest inspirations.
That's
yeah.
what your art looks like. Is the, what's it called? The edge of the sidewalk or?
Where the sidewalk ends. I think there's a lot of them.
There's a couple of them. Yeah, it's a whole series, but it's that type of doodle.
The light in the attic.
It's very much. Oh, yeah, you started doing cross, what's it called? Hash work? Cross?
What is that? Cross stitch?
Not cross stitch. Cross hatch?
Cross hatch?
Where you're doing shadows by crawling. Yeah, yeah. He started doing that too. I
love lions.
Your art
And that's what's cool when you look at like the one that inspired Tim Burton. What's Edward Gorey's. Like the lines, you could just keep adding more and more and more, and it just provides more and more depth and deepness.
I think Tim Burton gets a little
I get
too
real
much credit.
Turned on by it. Sometimes I wanted to write a bit about it. I was like, boy. I get so excited when I have an idea pop in my head and I'm like out and about during the day and I'm like, I can't wait to get home and draw at night and listen to music. Like it really, that thought makes me so happy.
Sure.
Like where no one's around. I'm just like in my zone. And then I forget about everything because I'm in
this
character. Ugh.
Cathartic.
Feels so good.
Yeah, I think Tim Burton gets a little too much credit. Henry Selick is responsible for all of those.
Henry Selick.
The visualization, James and the Giant Peach, The Nightmare Before Christmas, that imagery
really?
Was all Henry Selick. I think he directed those films.
But didn't Burton draw the nightmare characters?
Maybe.
They kind of look like
in Coraline that. Had nothing to do with Tim Burton, right? Wasn't that all Henry Selick? Yeah. And Coraline is insane. Like, that is such a dark movie for
it
kids
really
to watch.
Is. I rewatched it this past Halloween season.
We see it at least 10 times a year. Again, we started when our teenagers watched it as teenagers or as kids, is when it came out, I think 2009. And then with the new ones, they love it too. So,
yeah.
This has been.
This has been wonderful.
This has been really great for me.
It's been good for me too to just open up and. Yeah.
I can't thank you enough. It's always like it's always crazy to me that the names we get in here, and I never thought that doing a show on ESPN Radio would somehow lead to me getting to talk to people I've been following for years. So I'm gonna say the thing that I wrote for you, and then I'll get you out of here. So it's more of just like it's something that I wish you'd remember if you're feeling. Hard on yourself.
Okay.
But as I said, we don't know each other, and if this is weird, we'll just cut it out. But
no,
Melissa, you have had fans for more than 10 years. These are people beyond family who have followed you and your incredible talent nearly half your life. For many, it's been at least a decade. That's one third of my life. That's older than a lot of my own kids, older than my marriage. You have been part of people's life, my life, and hundreds of other people for years, through the formative years. Where I lost my place here, helping them get through life with laughter. This is the beauty in comedy. To have this sort of legacy, to affect this many people for this long is pretty insane. To see you succeed and make it after working so hard is a shared victory for you and your family, your friends, but also thousands of complete strangers, myself included. The excitement I felt personally for you when you made SNL without ever knowing you or speaking to you, but simply following you and rooting for you is such an incredibly undervalued aspect of what you do. You have often said that at moments of success, you felt good enough. And I just wanted to say to you that you do not get to where you are in your career by being just good enough. You are exceptional.
Ah,
so, thanks for coming
on. That's so sweet. Thank you. That's beautiful.
Cheers, guys.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.